The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
The unity of defiance, Satan's strategy of disruption and division from the White House to the Church House. That's what we're going to be talking about today. Don't want to spend a lot of your time today on this Friday afternoon, but I do want to get into this thing. Genesis 11, 1 through 9. I want to pull out some stuff out of this text of Genesis 11 that I'm seeing unfolding right now in this hour. Did I think, I believe anyway, that you'll find it intriguing as I did. Listen to this. Again, this is Genesis 11. This all came about after the flood. It says, "Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And then they said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and make them thoroughly.' They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves.'" I said, "Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." Now, I want to stop here and I want to emphasize something here. Notice that there were one language, one speech, one purpose. This, if you know the Bible, this sounds very familiar. It sounds like what we read about in Acts chapter 2. They were in one mind and they were in one accord and they had one purpose and one intent. And that was that they were praying and they were seeking the Father so that they may receive the promise of the Father that was given to them. And thus, as they were in one mind and as they were in one accord and as they continued to pray, they received the promise just as they were expecting. Now, that was in Acts chapter 2, and these were all believers gathered in Acts chapter 2, gathered together in expectancy. But then you go over here to Genesis chapter 11. This meeting is led up by a name, by a man by the name of Nimrod. The Bible talks about this man, and we're going to talk about that in just a second. But these are all together with a purpose of defiance. They were trying to defy God. They were trying to defy His purpose, to try to defy His order, and try to defy His kingdom mandate. So they came together. Again, they were in one language, one speech, and one accord, just like Acts 2. And they had one purpose. "Let us build ourselves a city. Let's make a name for ourselves." Come on. And watch this. But in verse, and the Lord is looking down from heaven, and I can prove it to you in the text of Genesis 11. The Lord is looking down from heaven, and He sees what these men are doing. And the Bible says in verse 5 of 11 of Genesis, "But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower in which the sons of men had built." Notice it said not that they were building, but had built. They had already built this thing. In other words, you got to hear me today. God didn't disrupt their plans as they were building it. He came down after they built it. See, I like to tell you today that some of you are, you know, we look upon the nation and we see what's going on, and there is a unity of defiance, a defiance against law and order, a defiance against the land, a defiance against the president, a defiance against the United States of America itself, the defiance against morality, a defiance against God and His word. It's a defiance of unity. And you say, "Where's God? Why isn't He disrupting this? Why isn't He stepping into this? Why isn't He doing something about it?" My friends, again, if we go back to Genesis 11, it says the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. Had. In other words, He sat back. He was quiet. He didn't interrupt it. He didn't disrupt it. But He was watching. He was observing. And He was seeing everything that was going on. And I want to tell you today that God is not blind. He is not defiant. He is not ignorant. He is not sweeping everything under the rug. And He's not turning a blind eye to everything that we see. the unrest, the looting, the protests, the disruption, the violence, the unrest, the chaos, the perplexity of nations. God is not silent. Even though it seems he is silent, he's still on the throne. He's still watching. He still has a plan. I want to say that today. Listen. And the Lord said, quote, indeed, the people are one. Even God noticed this. And they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now, listen, the Lord says, now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Guys, this is, you've heard me talk about this before. Some of you all have heard me talk about this, Genesis 11. This is so perplexing to me that even God himself, the creator of the universe, said that nothing can be withheld from them because of their, listen to me, because of their sole unified purpose to achieve what they are trying to achieve. Oh, I'm going somewhere with this today, if you'll just hold on for a second. And God himself says, we, and that's plural tense, by the way, not singular. Why? Because, listen, you can get mad at me and unfollow me if you want, but I do believe in the triunity of God, and God is speaking in plurality here, and he says, let us. He's talking in the understanding of Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. He said, let us. God says, let us go down and confuse their language. In other words, we got to step in. I want to, again, tell you something here. God sees what's going on. He sees the bloodshed. He sees the chaos. He sees the disorder. He sees everything that's happening in the nation right now. And I believe, this is my opinion based on the Word of God, I believe that when the fullness of the time has come, and we don't know when that is, but I'm telling you, people may not do nothing about it. The police may not be able to do anything about it. The president may not be able to do things about it. But I'm telling you, there is a point where God himself will be fed up and he himself will step down. If he's got to send angels, if he's got to send storms, if he's got to send earthquakes, if he's got to send disruption, if he's got to send plagues, whatever it is, God has a way of coming down and disrupting our plans. And he says, let us go down and confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. Because if we confuse them, they can't communicate with one another. And if they can't communicate with one another, they cannot continue to defy heaven. So the Lord scattered them abroad from over the face of the entire earth, and they ceased building the city. It was put to an end. Therefore, its name is called Babel, where we get the word confusion. Because the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the entire earth. Genesis 11, 1, 9. Again, some things to point out here. Shinar, the plains of Shinar, where this was built. Listen to this. Is where men, according to Josephus, the historian, other Jewish historians said that this is where men apparently settled after the flood of Noah. According to written accounts of Josephus, men in this time were very afraid, or they were greatly fearful to come off the mountains in fear that there may be another major flood or disaster, such as what brought them there to begin with. Thus, this is what inspired Nimrod, who was the leader of this group, to build this Tower of Babel or Babel in defiance against God and his kingdom. According to Josephus, Nimrod even verbally stated that if God were to bring another flood, that he would not be touched by the judgment because of the tower that would be built. Again, the unity of defiance. I'm telling you, friends, it's one thing to defy law and order. It's one thing to defy the White House, but it's another thing when men come together in unity and they begin to defy God, that's, my friend, is the Rubicon. That is the threshold. That's the red line of heaven. When they begin to, when they turn their attention from earthly defiance to heavenly defiance, and they begin to shake their fist at God and His word and His commandments, and begin to say that God, the God of heaven, is not going to step in, that He can't do nothing about it, and we're going to do whatever we want to do, then I'm going to tell you something. And guys, we are so close to the threshold of this. There's been reports of Bibles being burned in some of these cities, Christians being persecuted, Christians being ridiculed. I'm telling you, when we get to the point where men come together in unity and begin to shake their fists and try to defy God, God Himself will step off His throne and He will come down and He will do whatever it takes to disrupt the intent and evil that men are conspiring. By the way, hello, that's the whole reason why He destroyed the earth with the flood the first time, is because your Bible says that violence covered the whole face of the earth. Now, and by the way, Babel or Babel, you know it as confusion. But there is actually a secondary term to the word Babel, and it actually means the gate of the God, the gate of the God. In other words, when you break this down, it can actually translate to the gate of confusion, or the opening of confusion, chaos, disorder, disruption. It's also a picture, this is interesting to point out, it's a picture of the first global government that was established. Because again, there was one language, one purpose, one group of individuals. They came together. It was a picture of a global government, global governance as well. This was the first half of this message. I want to give you the second part. Now, if I didn't make you mad on the first part somehow, then I believe this second part is probably going to put the icing on the cake. This is mind-boggling. Tonight at sunset, we enter into the season of Rosh Hashanah, or Rosh Hashanah, however you want to pronounce that. And it literally is we're going into the new year on the Jewish calendar. It's the day of repentance. We're entering into the 10 days of awe on the Jewish calendar before leading up to Yom Kippur. That's tonight at sunset. As you may or may not know, there is groups of individuals that are trying to gather together with the sole purpose to bring believers to repentance and to turn them back to God, because if not, they believe that our nation is in deep trouble. One of them is Franklin Graham. Another one is a man by the name of Jonathan Cahn, very popular evangelist, author of The Harbinger, and just released The Harbinger 2. Him, with among others in the body of Christ, are leading a major event in Washington, D.C., calling believers to repentance and turning back to God during the season of Teshuvah, and it's an event called The Return. Now, I'd say a majority of you would say, this is a great thing. Praise God. I'm glad He's doing this. We should stand behind this. We should come together and we should be praying. Because you, after all, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves in prayer and turn from their sins and their wicked ways, then shall I hear from heaven and then shall I heal their land. So the majority sees this as a good thing and a great opportunity to bombard heaven with prayers of intercession and repentance with the purpose of turning men's hearts back to God. But no, sadly, many Christians, and you're going to see them even here on this Facebook feed, you'll see them on YouTube, you'll see them on blogs, you'll see them out there on social media, they will speak down, criticize, and with their tongue lash out at this, because for many reasons. One, it's not of their denomination. It's not part of their church. It's not a part of their affiliation. Their theology is different than Jonathan Cahn's or some of the individuals involved in this, or because he believes in this and they don't believe in that, or because, heaven forbid, he sells books. You've got Christians that don't believe that a man or a woman is of God if they're on Christian television, or they actually, if they sell books. Now look, we're not on Christian television and we don't sell books, but I don't bash and trash other believers that do. You know, if the Lord called me to write a book, listen, I would not check with any of you to make sure you're okay with it if I write a book. I'm going to be obedient to what God tells me to do. But listen to this. The return is a movement and an appointed time and a specific day set apart for one purpose, the return to God by coming before his presence in humility and sincerity and prayer and repentance. The movement begins now and will continue through the entire year of 2020, leading up to the 10 days of prayer and fasting and repentance, starting with the biblical Feast of Trumpets and ending with the Day of Atonement. Again, this is on September 18th to the 28th. The central day of the return will be Saturday, September 26th, which is next week, on the National Mall and throughout the nation and the world. Now, it's interesting that Black Lives Matter and Antifa and all them can come together, black, white, whatever ethnicity, whatever background. No one checked them at the door to make sure that everything lined up. As long as they were in agreement with their sole purpose, they all, listen to me, they're all in unity and agreement. Whether you like them or not, they are making waves in the nation. Why? Because they're not sitting around bickering and arguing and coming against each other. Instead, they're unified together with one purpose and one accord. But yet, us believers and Christians, we sit around and we complain and we get on blogs and we get on social media and we just sit all day long complaining and griping about, well, the cities are burning, things are getting looted, such disrespect, such chaos, such disorder. Yep, you're right. And guess what? They're all in agreement. They're all in one mind. They're all in one accord. And they're all carrying out their one purpose. They're not sitting around arguing and bickering about, well, how long have you been in BLM? How long have you been in Antifa? Well, have you went through the proper procedures? And what city are you from? Oh, well, I can't walk with you or join you or protest with you because you're from the city up here and I'm down from here. Or you're because you're black or because I'm white or because of this. No, they're coming together in agreement and they're carrying out their purpose. Listen, you may not agree with what they're doing and you may not like what they're doing, but they're doing it. But yet, when somebody raises up, somebody's got to come. Come on. Is there not a cause? You know, that's in the Old Testament. Is there not a cause? Is there not a righteous indignation? Is there not someone who has a cause in their heart? Is there not someone that looks across the land and sees the darkness upon the land and sees the chaos upon the land, sees the disorder upon the land? Is there not anyone who has a righteous indignation in them? It says, now is the time to rise up and pray. Now is the time to intercede. Now is the time for the kingdom of light to invade the kingdom of darkness. Now is the time for us to be salt, to be light. Come on, let thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. No, instead we want to sit in our basements, sit in our bedrooms, sit in our homes behind a keyboard, behind a computer, and we just want to gripe and complain. But when someone does rise up and do it, then instead of us saying, praise God, let's stand behind them and come into unity and bombard heaven. No, instead, we want to run a fine-tooth comb through them because we don't necessarily agree with everything. Listen, guys, You know what maturity in Christ is? Can I just talk about this for a second since I'm on this? Since I'm already on this horse, I'm just going to ride it into the sunset. You know what true maturity in Christ is? True maturity in Christ is when I can look at a brother across the table from me and he may not believe in the same theologically, we may have a difference of opinion theologically speaking. He may believe in no rapture and I believe in the rapture. He may be mid-trib and I may be post-trib, or I may be pre-trib, but yet, listen, and we may not agree on everything or this, that, and every I dotted and every T crossed, but here's where the maturity comes in. Even though I don't see eye to eye on him on some of his theological views, we can put that aside and we can come together for a greater cause for the nation. And in case you didn't know, some of y'all don't know this, but in the first and second Great Awakenings, you look at the players that were involved in that. You look at the men that God raised up. And I'm telling you, if you put them all around this table right now and you went one by one by one and asked them certain theological perspectives and certain theological views, I'm telling you, they had a difference of opinion on each and every one of them. But what they had in common was they were fed up with the conditions of the nations. They were tired of not seeing a move of God. They were tired of seeing their families being destroyed. They were tired of seeing businesses go under. They were tired of seeing the devil run rampant in their city and their region. And they said, guys, we may not agree on everything, but this is the one thing we're going to do. We're going to come together in one mind and one accord, and we're going to begin to cry out to heaven for God Almighty to bring an awakening, to flip this city and this nation upside down for the glory of God. That is maturity. Well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, then you read the letter that Paul wrote to the church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians, and you'll discover where Paul said, it has been addressed to me by the house of Chloe that you people are arguing about baptisms. Read it. It's in there. They were divided because they couldn't figure out who got baptized by who. And Paul had to set them all straight. They were arguing about everything. They were divided. The church of Corinth had division, and Paul consistently had to write to them letters to straighten them out. Whew. Oh, no, it stings a little bit. It's like when you go to the doctor and he tells you you have to get a shot. You don't like it. Just hold your breath for a second. Take the shot, and it'll get better. I promise. I like to call it, I've always said sometimes you got to eat the meat and spit out the bones. Listen, I got preachers that I listen to that we totally don't agree with each other on theology, or even eschatology. But I hear their heart. And I hear their passion, and they have a fire on the inside of them to see the kingdom of God advance. So what do? I eat the meat and I spit out the bones. That's what I do. I'm telling you, God is calling us to a level of maturity in this hour, guys. If we please do not complain to me about the condition of our nation anymore. I do not want to hear another Christian complain about the condition of our nation if they're not willing to repent, if they're not willing to intercede, if they're not willing to pray, and they're not willing to come into agreement with other believers to get something done about it. So that's where I'm at. In case you want Bible for it, let me give you some of that. Luke 9:49-50. Now John answered and said, Master, we saw someone casting out devils in your name, and we forbid them because they don't follow us. Did you hear that? They were casting out devils. But Jesus, they're not with our group. So I went over and rebuked them. Listen what Jesus said. But Jesus said to him, do not forbid him, for he who is not against us is on our side. Well, I don't know about that Sean Foyt guy because he's from Bethel and I've heard bad things about Bethel. Well, you know what? So have I. And I've heard bad things about your denomination too. Oh, Church of God, Church of God of Prophecy, Assemblies of God. Which denomination you want to talk about? Because you know what? Your denomination is not perfect either. We all have flaws and we all have imperfections. And by the way, it's my opinion, I don't believe God ever intended for us to have denominations. You want my proof for that? John 17:20-23. Jesus is praying in the garden. And listen what he says. I do not pray. He's praying to the Father, by the way. He's not schizophrenic and praying to himself. If I don't make somebody mad on this podcast, then you guys really do love me. Because I'm telling you, somebody's going to get mad either the beginning, the middle, or the end of this thing. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, plural tense, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I and them and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and I have loved them as you have loved me. Now listen, do you hear that? Listen to that intercession of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's praying to the Father and saying, Lord, these are my disciples and there's others that are coming after them. That would be you and me. All that believe in his name, that's all of us. And Jesus says, Lord, I pray that they would be one. So that was one of his last prayers in the Garden of Gethsemane. And you know what the devil has done for thousands of years? He's come in and he's divided the church. He's brought, and listen how he's sly and he's slick about how he's bringing division. He's brought division through denominations. Come on, through organizations, through theology, through eschatology, through all kinds of means to divide us. You've got churches that are divided over the gifts of the Spirit. You've got churches that are divided over baptisms. You've got churches that are divided over the Father, over the Son, over the Holy Ghost. You've got oneness. You've got Trinity. You've got churches that are divided over whether there's a rapture, there's no rapture, there's a mid-trib, post-trib, pre-trib. You've got churches that are divided over what kind of haircuts they got, whether the women can wear dresses, what they can't. Legalism, not legalism, complete division and chaos. Satan is sitting back laughing because we can't get nothing done as a church because we want to sit around and bicker and argue and be divisive with one another instead of going ye into all the world and preaching the gospel and casting out devils, healing the sick, raising the dead, and baptizing them. And making disciples. Jesus said, greater works shall you do because I go into the Father. You say, man, Brother Ricky, you sound like you're really fired up about this. I am. I am really fired up about this. Again, I want to leave you with this. We can stand by and run a fine-tooth comb through every individual's backgrounds, theological beliefs, or we can agree with them in prayer for the church to repent and turn back to God. Listen, again, there is more unity tonight in the bars and in the clubs, the whorehouse and the crack house than there is in the house of God. I can't believe he said that. I'm going to say it again in case you didn't hear me in the back row so there's no gossip about what I said. I'll make it clear. There is more unity tonight in the bars, the clubs, the whorehouse, and the crack house than there is in God's house right now. It's like I see that meme all the time with John Crowder, and he's sitting out there and he's got a table, and people use this meme all the time, and it'll say something and it says at the bottom, change my mind. So I like to paste what I just said right there as a quote on a meme, and then at the bottom it says change my mind. I want you to change my mind. So this is what I'm going to leave you with tonight, guys. I'm telling you, man, we had five consecutive nights, back-to-back-to-back, revival services at my church in Monroe, Georgia. And I'm telling you, on the last night, I was wrecked. God wrecked me. took me back to a place. You know, the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation, you know, repent, come back to your first works. It's not like I was backslid, but there was a place I was in where we get so caught up in ministry, get so caught up in the works of things, doing this and doing that, that we begin to slide out of the devotional of God, the devotional time, the intimacy with God. And I'm telling you, something happened. There was a rekindling of the fire in me. And I'm telling you, God, and it's really kind of opened my eyes to things, is what is the world seeing in us? They're hungry. They're searching. They're looking for a real God, looking for a real encounter. What are we representing? What are we presenting to them? Listen, we are embarking on dark times in America. So some of you is going to hear this message today and it's going to go one ear out the other because I ain't going to change your mind because you're so deep seated in your denominational beliefs and your wineskin that you'll never accept anything I just told you. Others, I believe this is going to be convicting to your heart. And I pray that God opens your eyes like he's beginning to show me and reveal to me that if we don't get it together, guys, then when I read this Bible, he has given us kingdom authority to come together, to loose, to bind. I've given you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Listen, don't tell me that I'm wrong, because I can go back and show you in great revivals and great first and second awakenings where God's people came together in such unity and such of the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost that entire cities were flipped upside down. Bars were shut down. Clubs were shut down. Factories were shut down because so many people had to couldn't work because they were weeping. There was all kinds of businesses were shut down. They were operating in darkness, but because the light of God's power showed up and rocked the cities and rocked the regions, there was such wide repentance taking place that entire businesses were shut down. It's like you read about in the book of Acts where they gathered all the books of witchcraft and sorcery and they begin to burn these in the streets because revival was sweeping through the cities. That, my friends, is what I am passionate about. That's where my heart is. And that's what I want to see come in our land. And I'm telling you, if you're out there and that's you, that's speaking your heart, that's your language, and you're saying, brother, that's what I long to see, then you know what? It's time for you. Come on. Then I want to lock arms with you. If you want to bicker and argue and complain and run a fine-tooth comb, please get out of the way so somebody who is ready to pave the way can do that. Because that's where we're at right now. So again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Guys, I want to encourage you to go to our main website. Again, I wish we could pull up. Now, you guys on YouTube will see all the graphics that we'll put up there, but you guys on Facebook Live, obviously we couldn't do that because we couldn't get our Zoom to come up today. But we do have an app. You can download that. You can go to the Android store and you can go to the Apple store, the Apple store for your iPhones and the Android Play store for your Android device. You can download our free app. It is free. It's available for you guys. You can do that and order that free, or download that free. And you can get that in your box, or into your phone, and you can follow us on your devices. So, also, we have relaunched Remnant Revival Ministries. If you have not followed Remnant Revival Ministries, you have no clue what I'm talking about. For you guys that has been with us for a long time, we launched that. We put it on pause. We're relaunching it, rebranding it, everything. This message is really falls right into into that category of what we're doing. But we've got two separate YouTube channels. We've got ETH and we've got Remnant Revival. There'll be times when one message will go on both. And I believe this has probably got a prophetic edge to it. So we'll put this probably on both channels. But there'll be messages that will only go on Remnant Revival that will not go on ETH, and some will go on ETH, some will not go on Remnant Revival. Because the ETH is the information arm, Remnant Revival is the equipping arm. So again, it's one tree, two branches. producing fruit and reaching out and trying to impact the world around us. So again, guys, we love you and appreciate you. Listen, if you'd like to support this ministry with a gift of any amount, right there on Facebook Live, under the description, there's a link. Click on that link. It's going to take you to our main website. You can click there to support us. You can do that. They're also on YouTube as well. All that information is coming up, how you can give on P.O. Box. You can get all that stuff. It's right there when you click on the link. So again, we love you guys. We appreciate you taking time out here. Let me pray for you guys before we sign off on the weekend. Pray for me tonight. I would appreciate it tonight. In about 4 hours, my pastor has asked me to speak for the youth, for the young people. We're having a young youth meeting tonight, and I'm excited about this. I've got a message that I want to deliver to them. I really believe it's going to be a powerful night. I believe lives are going to be turned upside down and transformed, so I'm really excited about this. But that starts at 7 o'clock. Again, if you're somewhere out here in my area, the neck of the woods, somewhere in Monroe or Loganville or Lawrenceville or anywhere in Georgia, and you've got young people, you'd like to be a part of this, just come on out. It's at New Song Church in Monroe, Georgia. Again, the service starts at 7 o'clock. We welcome you. We'd love to have you there. And again, I'll be speaking tonight at 7 o'clock on Eastern time. So again, I appreciate your prayers for that. So Father, I thank you for every individual under the sound of my voice that's watching this today, that is a part of this broadcast. Lord, I pray for a unity in their heart, Lord, a burning passion and desire that they would get this word and this the relevance of this word and the desire of this word and the urgency of this, and that they would begin to go into the highways and byways and compel them to come into the house of the Lord. And begin to cast their nets and bring in the fish. For the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And we thank you, Father. I ask that you'd bless them, keep them. May your countenance shine upon every individual under the sound of my voice. May you protect them coming in and coming out forevermore. And I thank you and we praise you. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you guys.